All right, you will turn in your Bibles today to Isaiah chapter number 50. Isaiah chapter number 50. We come to the third song of the servant king here in Isaiah chapter number 50. We see that in this whole chapter, verses 1 through 11, is this third song. This song, like elements of the others, and the chapter 50, the third song, goes really well with the fourth song, which is chapter 52 through 53, and they both speak of the rejection and the suffering that the Lord would endure for us. As John chapter 1, verse number 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And this is what it tells us here concerning this coming of our Lord, and what our Lord would suffer, what he would, and how he would be rejected, not only by his own people, the Jews, as he would come to them, but the reality that from that standpoint of who he is and what he came to do would not just be hated by the Jews in his time, but that hatred would continue on until the end of time. And that's a remarkable thing. We see those examples. Brother Jonathan was teaching the boys this morning concerning the church at Smyrna there, and the reality that the Lord had declared to them that they were going to suffer. These were going to be realities. The world was going to hate them because they first hated him. The world is going to hate you because they first hated him. That continues on. The very one who created all things and spoke it into existence, his creation hates it. The very one who is the divider of time, his birth being the essential reality of human history, literally dividing time, A.D. and B.C. I love today they've tried to change it to before the common era and the common era. They tried to get rid of Christ out of it. Guess who it's still divided on? It's still divided on him. They just changed the name, but it's still him that it's divided on. The very one whom time is divided on, they hate, they reject, they hate his doctrine, they hate what he declared, they hate his standard. The world, his creation, hates the one who made them. The world hates the one who would die for his people. So he was rejected, he was despised, he was hated by this world. And we see that here in chapter number 50 in this third song of the servant king. As this prophesies our Lord's coming to do this work of our salvation. We read here in verse 1, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that I cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the spiders, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer again. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. We thank you, Father, for your great grace. We thank you, Father, for this another time that we can come into your house. As we open your word today, Father, we pray that you'd open it before us. We might be able to see these things written herein, that we might be able to recognize our Lord in these scriptures and in these passages that we read here today, that our hearts might rejoice in what our Lord endured for us to bring salvation, to bring forgiveness of sin, to bring reconciliation and atonement for us, his people. Father, we thank you for this great work that is accomplished. Father, help us this day to see truly what our Lord has accomplished for us as we see these things he endured that you describe for us in your word, and how he faced them with all strength, with all power, with all joy as he endured these things for us. Father, open your word. Give us understanding of these things. Father, save the lost and our family and friends. Father, those that we know need your grace this day. Make known unto them Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior even this very hour. Father, for those many that are sick, we have so many on our list, Father, that are in need of your touch this day. We pray that you bless each one. Give them, Father, what they have need of in this hour. Go with us now as we look to your word. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now this song, this third song, starts out with an unusual verse. Speaking about divorcement here. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? Whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Now, according to the law, in Deuteronomy chapter 24, for instance, in verse number 1, a man was given ability, according to the law, to divorce his wife, and on the slightest pretext, this would come about. They manipulated the law in the traditions of the Jews and the Pharisees, and they got to the point where, I mean, the slightest thing, she made the biscuits too hard or something, that you can divorce one over it, you see. And that was part of the law, and so they had twisted and changed it. That anything at all that displeased the man, he was able to excuse for his divorce, to divorce his wife. But Jesus said later in Matthew chapter 19 that the reason that was given, the reason that that place was allowed in the law as far as that bill of divorcement, the law of divorcement, was given was because of their sin. Because of the hardness of their hearts that was given. So it was not on a whim here when we read in the Old Testament and we read of the sin of Israel and we see all of these realities of their wickedness and rebellion before God. It was not on a whim. It was not because Israel made the biscuits hard that God had set them aside. That God had set them aside. Now, understand, it was their sin, it was their adultery that separated them from the Lord. That's what he tells them there in verse number 1. He says, who did I do this to? Who was it that I sold you to? Who was it that I gave the bill of divorcement to? He said, it was you all that did this. He says again there in verse number 1, your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. They did this to themselves. They separated themselves from God. That's what the book of Hosea was about, that God was pointing out to the children of Israel. You're still mine. You may go away, you may sin, you may commit adultery, you may run from me constantly. I will come and get you every single time. You are mine. And you will not get away from me. And that was the picture that he gave. Poor old Hosea. Poor old Hosea. Have you ever read that book? What an awful thing that man had to endure in order for God to show that same reality to the children of Israel. That he would not get rid of them. They were his. They would stay his. There was nothing going to change that. He would always come get them. And so we have, but they have been, for as a people, they have been set aside for a time. And that setting aside is because of their sin. That setting aside was so that you and I might be able to have the gospel delivered to us Gentiles. And so this setting aside, this separation from God, again, is the very theme of the book of Hosea. But ultimately, we see also their reconciliation, and we see their repentance before the Lord. And Paul makes mention of that here in the book of Romans in chapter number 11, verses 1 and 2, as he speaks to this issue. In fact, most of the chapter 11, is dealing with this particular issue. And he says, verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not that the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. God has his people. And he will not cast them aside. He has his people. He knows who they are. And in fact, he goes on to tell us there in verse 25 of the same passage, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And then once that has happened, once that fullness of the Gentiles has come in, all those that the Lord has of the Gentiles come to him in repentance, and he has redeemed them unto himself, then he turns again to Israel. He says there in verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. So all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And so their separation, his point to them here in this song, is their separation is their choosing. They are the ones that have separated themselves. It is because of their sin they have removed themselves from God. And so he says in our text there in verse 2, "Wherefore when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem?" In their rejection, they didn't lose God any power. Christ was not diminished in any way whatsoever in their rejection of Him. His gospel is just as strong. It's just as powerful. It has the same power unto salvation. It is not diminished in the least by those who reject Him. Not diminished in the least. His hand is not shortened. "Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering." When did Jehovah come directly Himself and expect a welcome? When did Jehovah, the God of all creation, intervene or come into the presence of men and expect to be welcomed of them? Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15 tells us that He would come as the seed of a woman. And in His coming, the serpent, Satan, would bruise His heel, but He would crush the head of Satan. A promise is given of the coming of our Lord. And when He would come, when He took upon Himself flesh, was born to a virgin there in Bethlehem, would live among us. He was called then, as His birth was announced, He was called then Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. God with us. Promise is He would come to redeem His people. It did not happen at Sinai. In fact, there at Sinai, as we've been studying in the book of Exodus, God commanded them not to even come close. Stay away from the mountain. It didn't happen at Sinai. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, when he is preaching this message here on the day of Pentecost, he says here in verse 22, down through verse number 24, he says, "You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, rather, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." The one they were looking for, the one that they said that the even at that time, even when Jesus was in their midst, they claimed, they made the proclamation, they were looking for the promised Messiah. They were looking for Him to come. And even when He is right in their midst, even when He is showing Himself in the fulfillment of all the prophecies that were given Him, 300 plus prophecies, He fulfilled every one of them. Fulfilled every one of them. He fulfilled them to the detail. And they still, in Him fulfilling those things, showing Himself by the miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of them, as ye yourselves also know, Peter said. Y'all saw them. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know these 300 prophecies. You saw him doing these things. It was proven in your sight. The very one that they claimed to be looking for was there in their presence. He fulfilled the prophecies. He fulfilled all these miracles and wonders and signs to prove that he was the one. Him being delivered, he said, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Peter tells us here that Jehovah came into the presence of men as Jesus. He shows himself. He fulfilled the prophecies that were given concerning him. And Israel rejected him. Not just Israel. The world rejected him. They rejected him. And for that rejection, Israel is set aside. But even in declaring their rejection, at the same time in our text here, he declares their ultimate salvation. Because again, he asks the question, is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? I'm going to save my people, he says. You can reject me if you want to. You can turn from me, and it's going to bring you great misery because of that. But I'm going to save my people. That's not going to change. That's not going to change. He will save every last one of his sheep. He will not miss a single one. He will not miss a single sheep. He knows where they are. He knows what he's going to do to bring them to himself. He knows exactly what condition, what shape they are in. He knows where they can be found. And he will bring every last one to him. He won't bring any goats. He'll only bring the sheep. Understand that. There's never been a time anywhere in the Scripture, there's never been a time anywhere in history that a goat becomes a sheep. God's people are his sheep. There are those that are found and there are those that are lost. But his sheep remain his sheep. He will get every single one of them. He will get every single one of them. And so his hand is not shortened at all that it cannot redeem. He will complete his purpose. He, the Creator himself, has all power to do his will, and he will accomplish his will. Despite the rejection of this world, despite the rejection even of his people, his will be done. Now here in verse 4, he describes a little bit about this humiliation that he would endure when he came. Now understand, Isaiah is writing this, and this prophecy is given to Isaiah concerning what the Lord Jesus was going to do 700 years before the Lord would do it. And so what Peter is saying there in Acts chapter 2 concerning those miracles and wonders and signs, this is one of them right here. Because this is one that was written concerning him. This is one that was declaring the things that he would endure 700 years before it happened to him, you see. And so this is one of those miracles, wonders, and signs. And so he says here in verse 4, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. This is the same title here. Verse number four, the Lord God. This is the same title that Jesus would declare of himself that he now calls his Father, Jehovah Adonai, or the Lord God. He came meek. He came lowly, giving himself to the will of his Father, giving his tongue to speak the words of God, giving his tongue that he should learn the word of God, to follow the Lord's commands. He gave himself wholly, submitted himself to the will of his Father to do this work of our redemption. Doing so as man and as God. He did not give up his Godhood. Understand this. He did not give up his Godhood in order to die for you and I. It was God that gave himself for you. It had to be God that gave himself for you, because only God is holy. Only God is righteous. It had to be him, you see, or else you would be still in your sin. It had to be him, or yet you would have no salvation. It had to be him that did that for you, or you would be lost in your sins yet. It was God that gave himself. What did Abraham say? God shall provide himself a lamb. God shall provide himself a lamb. And so, we see here that he gave himself. He submitted himself to his Father, to the will of the Father, to follow the Lord's commands. He gave all of himself, and he became our servant to fulfill for us redemption to the Father. Verse 5, he says, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. The Lord hath opened mine ear. The same one who is the Almighty God humbled himself as a servant and gave himself fully to redeem us to the Father. But such a purchase cost him everything. Hath opened mine ear, he says. Now hold your place here. Go back with me to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. Not too long ago, we studied through this particular passage. Friday, I was listening to J. Vernon McGee, and he was teaching on this passage. I love this passage of Scripture. I don't fully understand it all, but I love it nonetheless because I know what it's pointing to. Exodus 21, verse number 1. It says, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before thee. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. So when a Hebrew servant was brought into servitude, and the only way he was brought into servitude is because he owed a debt that he could not pay. And so someone could take him in because of the debt that was owed them, or someone else could purchase that debt and bring that one into servitude, but that service would only last 6 years. On the seventh year, they were set free. So it, no matter how much was owed on the seventh year, that debt was considered paid in full. And they were set free. Or if it happened to come, which it doesn't explain here, but if it happened to come on a year of Jubilee, every 50 years, they were free at that point as well. So if you were brought into servitude for the 6 years and the next year was a year of Jubilee, you got to go free in the year of Jubilee. That's God's grace there is what that shows. You were set free at that point. And so this service would only last for those 6 years. Seventh year, they would go out free. But he tells us here, if he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons and daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. So he would go out, he'd have to leave his wife and children with his master if he wanted to go out of the service. He was free. Now that didn't mean he was free from his wife and children. They would be released in their 7 years when their servitude was done. They would be released and the family would be rejoined together at that point. But her service was to be taken care of just like his service was to be taken care of. And so if he was given a wife and children, they would remain with the master until their service be done, and he would go out by himself. But if the master shall plainly say, or if the servant rather, excuse me, verse 5, if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Now, I don't know how often this happened, or if it ever happened for a regular Jew. I don't know. But it was given that provision. Why is this provision given? Because it's showing Jesus. It's pointing to him, you see. If at the end of that time of service, that slave says, you know what, I love my master. I love my wife, I love my children. I don't want to go out from my master. I want to give myself for service to him for the rest of his life. I want to be his servant. Then he was to go to the judges of the city there that sat at the gate of the city. He was to go out to those judges and he was to declare to those judges, it's my time to go free. I've been set free now from my servitude. But I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. I want to remain in service to this man for the rest of my life. And he would declare that to the judges. Then the judges would allow that man's ear to be bored. And they would put his ear against the doorpost or against the gatepost of the city. And they would drive an awl through his ear there and open up a hole there. It wasn't a piercing in his earlobe. They put a hole in him. And in that hole there in his ear, it would be clearly seen this man had given himself to his master. He had given himself to his master. If ever there was a time when he said, you know what, I've had enough of this old place. I've had enough of this old boy I'm serving. I'm done with this. And he tried to escape and run off, that mark that was left there on that gatepost as he would go out of the city was left there for him to see. That blood spot where they bored that hole through his ear there was a testimony there on that gatepost of what he had done and giving himself to his master. He's always there. And so it says here, verse number 7, and if a man, well let me read verse 6 again. It says, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or under the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Now, go over here to the book of Psalms, chapter number 40. The book of Psalms, chapter number 40, and verse number 6. chapter 40, verse number 6. Now here, David, in this psalm, chapter number 40, he relates this piercing of the ear, this driving a hole there in the ear. He takes that image now and puts it on the Lord Jesus Christ here in Psalm chapter number 40. When he says here in verse 6, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Here he says, mine ears hast thou opened. Now, Paul then will take this same passage, and Paul will further relate it to the Lord Jesus. In Hebrews chapter number 10. Look at this. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 5. We see there, he's speaking of the sacrifices that are given. He says, verse number 4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls or goats should take away sins." Then he says in verse 5, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not." Right? That's what, same thing David said there in Psalm chapter 40, verse number 6. David says, mine ears hast thou opened. Paul, under the inspiration of Spirit, changes that just a little bit here in this passage. Notice what he says here. "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." The Lord Jesus didn't have just his ears open. He gave his whole body for us. He gave all of himself for us. It was all of himself, you see. He didn't just give his ear, but he gave his whole. And now in his glorified body, forevermore, he bears the marks of that giving for us. Just as you could see that servant at any time with that hole in his ear walking around the city, and you could recognize him, oh, that's the fellow that gave himself to his master. You'd see that hole, you'd recognize it right away, what that hole meant in that fellow's ear. Our Lord, even now, in his glorified state, even now, still bears those holes that proves he is the one that gave himself for us. There's a song that Vincent and Daly sing, "By the Marks." Oh, I love that song. "By the Marks." Said there'll be no doubt when we get to heaven who Jesus is, because we'll recognize him immediately by the marks in his hands and his feet. We'll see, that's the only scars that'll be in heaven. That'll be the only wounds that are ever there. Those marks in my Savior's body. To remind us for eternity what was given for me. To remind us for eternity what the cost was to bring me into the presence of God. He gave his body. "Thou hast prepared me a body," he says. And Isaiah here writes concerning that. in our text here in chapter number 50 and verse number 5. The Lord hath opened mine ear. The Lord hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. My Lord did not rebel at all against the direction of the Father in this, in the giving of Himself. It was the covenant of our redemption that came from before the foundations of the earth. Our Lord lived His perfect, sinless life on this earth for this one purpose: to give Himself for us. To give Himself that we might be made the redeemed of God in Him. He gave His ear to be bored. He gave His whole body that you and I should live. This, again, written concerning Him 700 years before He came. And we'll hold off here. Pick up verse number 6 this afternoon. Let's all stand together. Brother Gordon, excuse me, would you bring us a song? Can you say this day, do you know this day, that Christ Jesus was pierced for you? Can you declare that same sacrifice for you this day? Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus. Brother, what song do you have?